Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. I have something I want to read to you. The presidency of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious was stunned by the conclusion of the doctrinal assessment of LCWR by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. We were taken by surprise by the gravity of the mandate. This is a brief moment of great import for religious life in the wider church. We ask your prayers as we meet with the LCWR National Board within the coming month to review the mandate and prepare a response. Now, that statement, posted online, is the response so far of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious to a very harsh condemnation by the Vatican's Congregation for the Faith. It is responsible and respectable of the LCWR to handle this privately, but many, far beyond that organization, have been impacted by the actions of Rome. Here to talk about that impact now is Sister Simone Campbell, Executive Director of NETWRC, a national Catholic social justice lobby. Sister Simone has been on State of Belief Radio before. She is a friend in D.C. Simone, welcome to State of Belief Radio again.
Glad to be with you, Welton.
Can you summarize for us what the Congregation for the Faith actually has done and whom that impacts?
What they have said is that the Leadership Conference of Women Religious is suspect for doctrinal reasons because it appears they focus too much on the needs of people in poverty and have been what they say is silent on the issues of abortion and gay marriage, because of, and also that there are, I think they call it radical feminist tendencies in their discussions or in their documents. And they therefore appoint an archbishop to basically be a receiver, to put LCWR in receivership, and that this archbishop and his two bishop assistants will are given the authority to restructure LCWR, to change their statutes, to change the organization, and to affect, the way we got involved in this is that the Vatican specifically mentions their relationship with NETWRC, our organization, a national Catholic social justice lobby, as being one evidence of the suspect relationships that they have. So there was a determination that we at NETWRC are wrong or bad or are outliers in some fashion, and that the LCWR's relationship with us is improper.
Simone, I know what the definition of the phrase I'm going to give you is from the perspective of bishops and people in Rome. How would you and your staff define what they mean by radical feminist tendencies?
Well, not sure. Wish I knew. The only thing that I can think is that there are two things. One is, if we're radical, it's we're radical because we take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience forever to live a celibate life in pursuit of the gospel by service to people who are poor. Now, that's pretty radical. It's also pretty radical that we strive like the women in the New Testament, in the Christian scriptures, who were the first ones at the tomb on Easter Sunday and saw that Jesus had risen, and take that information back to the apostles. That's what we strive to do. Take the information of Jesus alive in our streets back to the leaders of our church. I have a hunch the part that is challenging for the leaders of our church, the why they might say this, is that we have been very faithful in following the directives of Pope Pius XII and of Vatican II in our renewal. Pope Pius XII in the 50s urged women religious all over the world to get educated, to get advanced degrees, to enter into the academia, and to share that knowledge in the church. Well, I think one of the challenges is that many in leadership are used to an all-male leadership structure, and that when women who are highly educated start asking what I might call pesky questions, when they engage in thoughtful discourse, that some of the leaders in our church find that difficult. And perhaps, just because we ask questions, they find that annoying, and possibly maybe that's the source of the radical feminist view.
You know, I wouldn't at all be surprised, but and the bottom line is it is some people feeling that you all may feel like you're real representatives of Christianity, and you think you're better than you really are.
Oh my gosh, that is so far from the truth as we strive every day. I live in a community that values the Benedictine spirit, and what we do is we work every day, not just to get what St. Benedict calls to get up. You fall every day, and we just keep trying to get up and be faithful. I think really what the challenge is, and the outpouring of support that we've received, brought this home to me. I thought women religious were pretty anonymous, pretty invisible within the United States, because most of us don't wear the fancy habits anymore, and most of us are engaged in working with people in poverty. But what we've discovered is that people see our lives as witness. They see in our lives, based on all the letters we've gotten, they see in our lives a moral power. And I think we never claim to speak for the institutional church. No way. That's not my job. I'm just a layperson who has taken these vows. I'm not ordained. I'm not, it's not something I aspire to. I'm just living a lay life in my community. But I think what the bishops see is that the people in the United States look to us for that moral witness, and they wish that the bishops' words would have that same reverence, and some do and some don't. Yeah. I think some of the scandals in our church have tainted some of the bishops' capacity to really be a moral witness in our society, and they think maybe by hitting out at us that they might get it back. I don't think it'll work.
Well, I don't either. Simone, for non-Catholics, how powerful is the Congregation for the Faith?
Oof. I suppose you could say, this is a pretty secular way to say it, they're kind of the top dog in Rome. At least that's how I understand it. I work in politics, federal politics, so I don't quite know all the power relationships. But I do know that the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is seen as the most responsible vigilant for protecting our faith from folks that might stray. You also have to know, though, that it's the same group that was the Inquisition. They just changed their name in the 1960s to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. I hadn't realized that until all this blew up. So they have kind of a checkered past, shall we say, for their capacity to effectively lead our church.
Well, I want people to know even more about you and Network. So would you talk a little bit about Network as an organization and how these events could likely affect your work?
Oh, thanks for this opportunity. Network is this amazing organization of what I call a Catholic People's Movement, and what we've discovered is Catholic is with a big C, meaning Roman Catholic, but it also is with a small C, meaning universal, because so many people share our commitment to Catholic social teaching, our sense of engagement of gospel in our world. And what we do is we educate, organize, and lobby for justice within federal policy. So we have educational workshops. We have this fabulous thing up on our website, a Mind the Gap campaign, where we started last May to work on the wealth gap in the United States, and at the end of this month, we're going to start our new campaign about mending the gap, because we believe that the gospel is best served when there's less disparity in our nation. We also know we all suffer because of wealth disparity. So that's some of our education work. We have this fabulous election project that we're working on, inviting people all over the United States to have conversations about the common good in 2012. And if folks are interested in checking that out, that's at commongood2012.org, all one word. And that is in an effort to bridge the huge divides, the polarization in our nation. We strongly believe that the only way forward is if we share together what our values are, and that in those values for the common good, so that everyone is cared for in our society. So it's really about claiming faith in the streets, but it's also about reclaiming our Constitution, because our Constitution says we the people, and we the people is about all of us. So we apply our faith to politics. Sometimes it gets us in a little trouble, but it certainly is a vibrant and for me, a very exciting and moving ministry. We invite anybody to join us.
Simone, I hope I'm not being too harsh here, but I was very moved by that statement from LCWR, waiting to respond publicly, wanting to get their thoughts together, wanting to say their prayers, looking for guidance, and the kind of contrast between that approach and many bishops who are running for every microphone they can find and yelling and ranting and raving. What are you, in this interim period, what are you hearing from people affected by these actions?
Well, I've heard from a lot of Catholic sisters a great deal of bewilderment and uncertainty about just what is behind this, what is going on, but also a tremendous amount of confidence that Jesus is the way and the Spirit will lead us through. We've heard from a lot of lay people who are Catholics and an amazing number of non-Catholics. I got this lovely letter from a woman rabbi in St. Louis that I met a few years ago when I was working on healthcare reform, and she said this lovely note and ended with saying that we had sisters in many faiths. And to me, that was such a strong sense of solidarity, of mm-hmm. being this body that tries to lift up the values that we hold dear. And I've heard also a lot of heartbreak. I have to say, mm-hmm. I mean, we've ended up in tears here because this is extremely painful.
Sure.
It's extremely painful to have the leadership of the church in which we have discovered deep spirituality and a life. I mean, I've been doing this over 40 years. I've been a sister. Yeah. And then to have them say we're unfaithful and that network is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That's really painful.
Sure it
is.
And
they never talk to us. That's the other part that's really hard.
Well, you know, I have a sense that another part of the pain that other people are feeling is that in a time when there is a lot of bad publicity about the Catholic Church anyway, many people, many of us, I'll say, have looked to the women religious to give us hope in the future of the church. I fear what that's doing to that hope.
I think that's a really good point. But the point that we need to know is that, at least in most religious traditions, hope is bigger than a person. Hope is bigger than a structure. Hope is about having your hearts broken and knowing that beyond that there is growth and life, and what my faith tells me is that deeper sense of commonality. I most meet God when my heart's broken. And so I'm trusting that in this process, just like the Jewish people wandering in the desert, just like the early Christians having to hide out, just like the saints of our time, I mean, some of the great mystics were excommunicated several times by the leaders of the church. So I'm trusting that we will meet God if we are faithful to the gospel. It's hard. It is painful. It's not what I would want from our church leaders. But faith is so much bigger than the church structure.
That's such a great word from you. Is there anything else that our listeners need to hear from you about the threat to women, to social justice movements, to initiatives toward diversity and inclusivity in the Catholic Church today?
Well, I think the fact is, I mean, a lot of what I say is trying to be the hope in the darkness or a light in the darkness. I have the sense that we're called to be the burning bush, to be a light of God in the midst of this and not be consumed, I hope. But I also want people to know that there is a very serious risk. And that maybe part of what this needs is that it's not just Catholic sisters who need to stand up as witnesses to this, but we need everyone to stand up, to say that our faith brings us together, that we know we are one body. We don't leave people out. We are inclusive. All of us are created in the image of a loving, generous, abundant, grace-filled God, and that is who we are. We need everyone to share that message. And maybe that's what this is about, to push the message out so there are more bearers of this light than just us.
Sister Simone Campbell is the executive director of NETWORK, a national Catholic social justice lobby. Sister Simone, I want to thank you for talking with us today at a very difficult time. We share the anxieties that you all must have, but I know they're deeper in you. I can't help but listen to you, and it happens every time I listen to you. If you're guilty of something that needs to be reprimanded, I hope I'm guilty of the same thing.
How lovely. Thank you, Wilton.
Thank you, Simone. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you.